Walk alone, rise alone, win alone. These are not empty slogans. They are the creed by which a stoic warrior lives. You will not hear fanfare in solitude. You will not see crowds behind you. But behind the quiet, behind the unseen, your character is forged. And this is where strength becomes unshakable. Somewhere within, a voice speaks, "I will stand, no matter what." If this calls to you, comment below, "I walk alone." This journey begins with understanding that companionship and external support can exist, but must never become the source of your identity. The warrior does not tether his peace to the actions or favor of others. He stands on his own purpose and virtue, unwavering even in the face of misunderstanding or abandonment. This is not loneliness, it is self-sovereignty. From this foundation, we build upward, first in solitude, then in rising through self-discipline, and ultimately in victory through mastery of self. This first step begins when you turn your back to the noise and face yourself. In the stillness, you hear the truth that comfort and approval have been drowning for years, and what it tells you is simple. Nothing outside you will save you. It is not a path for the weak. It is a path that demands brutal honesty with yourself, relentless commitment, and the willingness to withstand judgment, fear, and pain. But those willing to take it will emerge tempered, not shattered, sovereign, not dependent, dignified, not desperate. And it all begins with the decision to walk forward alone. To walk alone is to confront what others flee. You face your own mind. You stand before the mirror without masks. You admit the lies you've told yourself, the fears you've hidden behind noise, the softness you've excused as sensitivity. You feel the weight of your own life in your own hands, and you do not flinch. There is nothing easy here. No distractions to blame, no people to rescue you from your duty. And that's the point. You are left with yourself, your thoughts, your habits, your impulses, your strength. You become your own battlefield. And either you master that terrain, or it masters you. As you walk, you build. Each time you rise before comfort tells you to stay down. Each time you act with discipline, speak with honesty, and resist the pull of weakness, you place a stone in the walls of your inner fortress. One action at a time, you construct the self that cannot be shaken. That fortress becomes your center, not walls to hide behind, but structures of clarity and command. You do not escape the world, you engage it with a will trained in solitude. And when chaos strikes, as it always does, you are not scattered. You remain steady, present. This is not arrogance, it is mastery. Not control over others, but control over self. The only true control, the only real power. And you do not seek recognition for it. You walk not to impress, but because the path is right. The warrior walks alone, not because he rejects the world, but because he no longer fears being without it. Each step is met with resistance, both internal and external. You will be misunderstood. People will say you've changed. They will wonder why you no longer chase their approval, why your silence feels heavy, why your presence unsettles. Let them wonder. You owe no one your peace. The cost of this path is comfort. The reward is freedom. Not the freedom to do whatever you want, but the freedom to do what is right, regardless of pressure, temptation, or fear. That is what walking alone gives you. The ability to choose, not react, to act from principle, not emotion. Do not mistake solitude for suffering. The warrior finds richness there, clarity, strength, awareness. In solitude, you are not alone. You are with the only person who will never leave you, yourself. And the more you know him, the less the world can control you. Every day, the warrior chooses again. To rise without motivation, to speak with precision, to move with purpose. He does not need chaos to be still, nor silence to be calm. He carries his center with him. Wherever he goes, it goes too. He is the eye within the storm. There is a silence that comes after the battle with yourself, a silence earned. not the silence of emptiness, but of understanding, not stillness out of exhaustion, but stillness by design. In that stillness, you find the truth. You have everything you need within you to endure, to grow, to win. So rise, walk alone. And know this, every step you take in solitude is a step away from dependence and toward destiny. Every time you act without applause, you strengthen the muscle that does not bend. Every time you stand your ground, you remind yourself, this is who I am. The world will not notice at first. That's fine. The path of the warrior is not lit by recognition, but by virtue. The reward is not applause. It is the person you become. And when you win alone. Not because no one else is there, but because no one else carried you. This is the way. Not popular, but powerful. Not easy, but essential. If you feel it in your bones, if something inside you refuses to settle, if you are done waiting to be saved, then this is your sign. Start walking. Don't look back. And if your soul agrees, let it speak. I walk alone. You walk. Not because someone told you to, not because the path is clear, but because you know staying where you are means death of potential, of purpose, of integrity. The warrior moves forward, even when every step is uphill, even when every voice around him says, "Why bother?" He doesn't answer them. He answers himself. That is enough. People will try to hand you their fears, their doubts, their broken maps. They'll say you need help, that you're too serious, too distant, too intense. They'll offer distractions, comforts, shortcuts. Smile, nod, and keep walking. Their noise is not your compass. Their pace is not your rhythm. You are not cold. You are focused. You are not angry. You are aware. You are not detached. You are disciplined. Emotions visit you, but they don't command you. Pain touches you, but it doesn't define you. You feel everything, but you obey only reason. That is your shield. That is your sword. The more you walk, the more you shed. The lies, the excuses, the need to be understood, the need to be liked. You realize those were never part of you, just layers put on you by a world that fears silence and strength. You remove them one by one. What's left is raw, real, and unstoppable. Time slows down, not because the world changes, but because you do. You see things others miss, the traps of comfort, the decay of compromise. You act with precision. You say less, mean more. You are not distracted by applause or insult. They are the same wind. You are the mountain. Some days you'll feel the weight of the path. That's natural. This isn't blind courage, it's earned resilience. You'll pause, not out of doubt, but reflection. You'll kneel, not in defeat, but in preparation. The warrior knows when to breathe, when to adjust, when to roar, when to be still. The world will test you with delay, with loss, with betrayal. It will try to convince you that your path is foolish, that you're missing out, that you're alone. Smile at it. Not with arrogance, but with certainty. Let it try. You were made for this. You chose this. And you do not run. When others break, you will bend. When others complain, you will adapt. When others seek blame, you will seek understanding. That's your advantage. You don't fight reality. You train with it. You do not resist pain. You learn from it. You don't demand ease. You demand growth. You become a lighthouse, not seeking ships, but being seen by them. A source, not a seeker. And even if no one notices, you shine, because that's what you do. That's who you are. Even if the sea is empty, even if the storm is silent, you shine. Constant, ready, real. Victory for the Stoic warrior is not a destination. It's a posture, a way of being. Each day you choose it in how you speak, how you think, how you act when no one watches. That's the win, being true to your highest self again and again in a world that forgot how to be still. And when the world does notice, when they finally see the strength behind your silence, the calm in your presence, the certainty in your eyes, you won't need their recognition. You'll be past that. You'll nod, thankful but unmoved. because the true reward has already been earned, the man you've become. So keep walking, let others talk, let others guess. You know the truth, you live it, you breathe it. Walk alone, rise alone, win alone. Not because you hate the world, but because you've mastered yourself. Not because you're better than others, but because you refuse to betray yourself. If this path is yours, don't wait for permission. Don't ask for signs. This is it, right here, right now. Comment below, I walk alone. Let the world hear your silence. Let the weak mock you. Let time test you. You were not born for comfort. You were born for this. You rise, not by whim, but by discipline. Not when the sun rises, but when your purpose demands it. You do not wait for the inner flame to ignite. You strike the flint yourself. The warrior does not hope for courage. He cultivates it in the quiet before battle. Each morning, before distractions clamor, you speak to your soul. Who will I be today? What will I refuse? You set the standard. You refuse the easy, you refuse the shallow. You prepare, not for praise, but for integrity. You do this when no one's watching, so when everyone is watching you, don't break. You rise aware that pain is inevitable. Loss will come, criticism will come, betrayal will come. But you do not rise naively, you rise steeled. You have practiced in lesser storms, so when the storm intensifies, your spirit is not new to battle. You have met discomfort before. You have met fear before. This day will not surprise you. To rise alone is to take full responsibility. You cannot blame others for your state. You cannot lean upon excuses. You cannot wait for someone to lift you. You must ascend inch by inch with your own arms of virtue and resolve. No one else can carry your weight. And so you rise through repetition, through discipline, through commitment. You face the inner inertia, the voice that begs rest, comfort, delay, and you override it again. You resist the complacency. You resist the appeal of ease. You continue upward, silent, steady, relentless. You stand now at the threshold of action. This is where theory meets steel. The warrior's path is not about lofty ideals alone, but actual doing. In solitude, you have built your citadel. In rising, you have steeled your muscles of will. Now comes the phase of execution, of acting as if you already are. You walk, you rise, but now you must win through decisive, principled movement. The external world is your proving ground. You do not shy away because of uncertainty or risk. You move forward anyway. Action is the visible form of inner mastery. You prepare inwardly so that outwardly you need no hesitation. When opportunities call, or when challenges come, you do not wait for perfect conditions. You act from virtue. You act from clarity. You act because your purpose demands it. And you act without apology. The warrior does not excuse delay. He does not await permission. He does what is required. That is how one wins alone. By doing what must be done, when it must be done. But action untethered is dangerous. Impulsive acts are the predator's trap. The stoic warrior calibrates action against reason, not against emotion. He asks, is this right? Is this within my control? Will this action align me with what I value? If yes, he moves. If not, he restrains. He knows that success is not just in motion, but in motion guided by principle. He knows that every act has consequences on his soul, on others, on his inner citadel. You will be tempted to move for reward, for praise, for recognition. Resist this. Let those be byproducts, never the reason. The purpose lies in integrity, not in applause. Victory here is quiet. It is not announced by fanfare, but felt deeply in your bones. You look back not with pride, but with calm assurance. You ask no one's approval. You require no celebration. You did what you were meant to. That is enough. As you act, you will face failure. This is inevitable. Not all battles will end in triumph. Some days your moves will falter, some plans will collapse, but the warrior does not despair. He learns, he adapts, he reflects without shame. He does not cling to his identity as winner or loser, but remains consistent as one who acts rightly. He uses failure as feedback. He studies what went wrong, adjusts, and arises again. You do not equate your worth to your outcomes. Your worth lies in your choices. Did you act from your center? Did you honor your principles? Did you respond to the moment with integrity? If yes, you have already won, regardless of external result. If you had acted dishonorably, that is the failure you regret. Not the missed contract, not the broken relationship, not the lost chance. Your inner defeat matters more than any outer one. Acting alone means you bear the burden of outcomes. You cannot blame or excuse. You own your acts, your mistakes, your triumphs. You do not bow to external pressures, but you accept responsibility. When things collapse, you rebuild. You do not cower. You do not protest. You analyze, you refine, you redouble your effort, you stay in the arena, you accept that to win means being wounded, tested, questioned, and persevering. There is no action more courageous than doing what must be done when all voices argue to hold back. The world will tell you to wait. The world will offer softness. The world will demand ease. But you do not heed those voices. You heed your higher self, your purpose, your vision. You follow what is right, even when it is lonely, even when it is hard, even when it costs. That is how you win alone. Do not mistake stillness for inaction. There is a form of action beyond motion, strategic restraint. Sometimes the wisest move is to pause, to gather strength, to wait. But that pause is not surrender, it is preparation. A warrior discerns when to strike, when to hold. He does not flit restlessly, he chooses his timing. He conserves energy, focuses it, then releases it. When the moment is right, he does not hesitate. Winning alone is not accumulation of prestige or wealth. It is sovereignty of soul. It is being unshakable, unbought, unafraid. It is the capacity to stand firm when all around you tremble. It is freedom from external dependencies. It is power born from internal mastery. When you've reached that, you no longer need to ask permission. You no longer need to justify your path. You exist from your own integrity and purpose. Some will not understand, many will misunderstand, some will resent. All this is expected. The warrior does not waste bandwidth persuading the unpersuadable. He moves, he acts, he wins quietly. And if the world snubs him, so be it. His mission is not to be loved. His mission is to be true, to act rightly, to win the version of victory that matters. Now you stand at this threshold of doing. In the forthcoming parts, we will explore how to strengthen your discipline in action, how to sustain momentum under pressure, how to remain grounded in purpose when your trophy is invisible, how to recover from setbacks, and ultimately how to walk the lonely road, not just to victory, but to wisdom. Act now. Move from purpose. Win alone. Victory is not a finish line. It is a temperament, a posture sustained over time. The Stoic warrior does not rest on one conquest. He continues in persistent daily mastery. To win alone is to remain relentless, even when the world exalts, even when the world forgets. That persistence is the true proof. You cannot rely on passion. Passion fades. You cannot rely on novelty. Novelty is fleeting. You must rely on habit, on systems, on character so established that it acts without sensation. When discipline is internalized, you wake early, you act with integrity, you greet challenge with still resolve. Nothing overtakes you. When storms appear, betrayal, failure, loss, many claim they are defeated. The warrior does not. He leans in. He accepts full responsibility. He refuses to view suffering as injustice. He sees it as opportunity. He asks, what virtue is tested here? Which muscle of the soul must grow? That orientation turns pain into practice, adversity into art. Momentum is your ally, but it is fickle. It rises when you feed it with small wins, focused effort, consistency. But momentum also dies when you neglect it. A single day of chaos can unsettle months of progress. That is why you do not permit sloppiness. You do not grant permission for laziness or distraction. Your inner citadel must remain guarded. Do not confuse busyness with movement. You may run fast, appear occupied, but that is not progress. Progress is movement toward what really matters. You evaluate every action. Does it bring me closer to integrity, clarity, strength? If not, it is a distraction. The warrior is patient, discerning, unmoved by the tyranny of distraction. There is an inevitable tension in winning alone. The ascent itself is not only demanding but also isolating, for the higher you climb, the fewer companions remain at your side. Victory attained through solitude carries a unique weight. It strips away illusions of camaraderie and reveals the stark reality of who is truly driven by conviction and who is carried along by applause. As you rise, you notice the thinning air of company, the quiet absence of those who once promised loyalty but had no intention of walking with you to the summit. The higher the peak, the lonelier the path. And yet this very loneliness becomes the crucible where your principles are tested and purified. At the base of the mountain, the noise is abundant. There are crowds, cheers, and celebrations. Many voices encourage you, not because they understand your purpose, but because your climb entertains them or provides them with a sense of belonging to something greater than themselves. These voices form a chorus of warmth, a promise that you will not be alone. Yet when the steps steepen and the climb requires sacrifice, those same voices begin to fade. What once felt like loyalty reveals itself as dependency, and what once appeared as friendship often shows itself as convenience. In the quiet of higher ground, you realize that not everyone who starts with you intends to finish with you. The solitary climb exposes the secret engine of many lives, applause. There are those who only move forward when the world is watching, who perform rather than live, who depend on recognition as their fuel. They are like fires that burn brightly in public but extinguish themselves in silence. Without spectators, their steps falter. Without approval, their courage collapses. They were never walking toward the summit for its own sake. They were walking for the echoes of clapping hands. To see this truth is painful, but it is also liberating. It explains why the summit feels empty, why so few remain when the crowd disperses. To live by principle is to resist the seduction of applause. It is to continue walking even when no one cheers. It is to carry a compass that points to truth, regardless of how unpopular or inconvenient that truth may be. Those who live by principle may make mistakes, but at least those mistakes are authentic, born of their own choices rather than borrowed from the majority. To live by convenience, on the other hand, is to trade authenticity for safety. To shift convictions as easily as one changes clothes, to let external winds determine direction. This way of life may seem easier, but it is fragile, for it depends entirely on conditions beyond one's control. The loneliness of winning alone comes not only from being misunderstood, but also from refusing to shrink yourself to be more easily accepted. You realize that many would rather you play small, that your growth threatens their comfort, that your refusal to compromise makes them uneasy. Yet you do not diminish yourself for their approval. Instead, you expand into your full size, even if that expansion isolates you further. The summit may be narrow, but your being need not be. You carry with you the dignity of living faithfully to yourself, even if it costs you company. Loneliness at the top is not simply the absence of people. It is the sharp awareness of the distance between those who pursue truth and those who pursue comfort. You see how rare it is for someone to resist the tide of sentiment, how unusual it is to find a soul who would rather stand alone in truth than blend in with falsehood. This realization can sting, for it makes you feel estranged from the very world you belong to, but it also clarifies your path. The sting is the price of clarity, and clarity is the reward for choosing principle over popularity. Winning alone is not only about victories in the external world, titles, awards, achievements, but also about victories of the inner world. It is about the triumph of self-mastery, the ability to remain true to one's convictions when the easier option would be to surrender. It is about walking into silence without fear, about finding strength in solitude, about learning to applaud yourself when no one else does. This kind of victory is invisible to the masses, but it is the most enduring of all. Crowds may forget your accomplishments, applause may fade, but the quiet certainty that you lived in alignment with truth cannot be taken away. It is tempting to long for company, to wish that more would follow, to desire a fellowship of equally committed souls. And sometimes you do encounter them, rare companions who climb not for glory, but for principle. Their presence is precious, like finding a fire on a cold summit night. But even then, you know such souls are few, and the journey requires you to be prepared to walk alone. To depend on them would be another form of convenience. To appreciate them without clinging is the mark of maturity. For in the end, the path of principle is walked primarily in solitude, even when others are near. The paradox of winning alone is that the higher you climb, the more you understand the fragility of recognition. From the summit, applause sounds faint, irrelevant. The very people whose approval once seemed essential now appear small in the distance. You realize how many of them walk in circles, bound to the shallow rhythm of sentiment, unwilling to leave the crowd's safety. Their laughter and noise, which once made you feel alive, now reveal themselves as distractions from the deeper music of purpose. It is here that you see with piercing clarity, the true summit was never about being celebrated, it was about becoming. There is, of course, a pain in this clarity. To feel the distance between yourself and others is not easy. You see that the crowd may misunderstand you, misinterpret your motives, or even resent you. You may be judged as arrogant, cold, or aloof. Yet this misunderstanding is part of the price. You are not arrogant for refusing to shrink. You are not cold for refusing to drift with the tide. You are simply committed to something higher than approval. And while the sting of rejection hurts, it also liberates you from the chains of expectation. You no longer need to be liked to be whole. The summit's loneliness teaches a profound lesson. Integrity is more valuable than companionship. The temptation to trade authenticity for acceptance is strong, but hollow. The applause that comes from compromise tastes sweet for a moment, but turns bitter quickly. The solitude that comes from integrity may be sharp at first, but it matures into peace. In that silence, you learn to hear yourself, to distinguish your own voice from the chorus of the crowd. And when you can hear yourself clearly, you no longer fear being alone. You become enough. This does not mean you disdain others, nor that you withdraw from the world in contempt. On the contrary, you engage with others more freely because you no longer depend on their validation. You can love without needing to be loved back. You can give without calculating the return. You can stand with others when principles align and stand apart when they do not, without bitterness. The summit becomes not only a place of solitude, but also a vantage point. From here, you see the crowd not with scorn, but with compassion. You understand why they cling to applause, why they fear silence, and understanding softens the loneliness. To enlarge yourself to be who you are, rather than shrinking to be understood, is the essence of winning alone. It requires courage, because the world is not kind to those who refuse to conform. It requires resilience because the path is steep and isolating, but it also offers freedom because nothing binds you more strongly than the fear of disapproval, and nothing frees you more deeply than the courage to live as yourself. When you reach that freedom, the summit no longer feels like exile, it feels like home. The tension in winning alone never disappears entirely. Even at peace, you will feel the pull of longing for recognition, the ache of missing voices around you. But these longings remind you that you are human, not stone. They do not diminish your victory, they dignify it. For what is the value of principle if not tested by desire? What is the worth of integrity if not proven by temptation? To feel the sting and still choose truth, that is the mark of genuine triumph. In the end, the loneliness of the summit is not a curse, but a teacher. It strips away illusions, it clarifies values, it strengthens resolve. You come to see that solitude is not emptiness, but space. Space to grow, to listen, to live fully. You realize that applause, though pleasant, was never your true goal. And you discover that the summit, though lonely, is not barren. It is alive with clarity, with peace, with the quiet dignity of a life lived in truth. You have not lost the crowd, you have gained yourself. And that is the highest victory of all. The warrior's faith is quiet. He does not broadcast every victory. He does not flaunt his scars. He carries his progress in silence. He trusts that the right eyes will see, but he does not live for that recognition. He answers only to truth, only to virtue, only to the call within. In moments when the path seems void, when your purpose feels clouded, you return to what is certain. This moment, this breath, this next decision. You ground yourself in what you control. You act from your citadel. You strip away illusion. You reconnect to your center. You move again. Every challenge is an invitation. A rift in a relationship, a failure in business, a health crisis. Each is not a signal to stop, but a checkpoint for reflection. You ask, what must I learn? What must I shed? How must I refine? You do not resent the challenge. You welcome it as teacher, as test, as provocation to become more you. To win alone is to carry your triumph inward. It is not the applause you collect, but the integrity you preserve. You walk, you rise, you win, not for the world, but for the self that held steady in darkness. You walk not to prove, but because you cannot not walk, because your nature calls you forward. As you consolidate your victories, you guard against complacency. Power misused is weakness. Success seduces. Vanity whispers. You remain vigilant. You continue to serve the highest purpose, not your ego. You return always to humility, to self-examination, to the stance of the learner. The warrior never thinks he is done, so you persist, quietly, relentlessly, with no guarantee of recognition, no promise of ease, no invitation, but that of integrity. You walk alone, you rise alone, you win alone, you become the warrior the world forgot. In the journey of the Stoic warrior, strength is not static. It is forged, tested, refined. To walk, rise, win alone means always improving, never settling. Each day demands vigilance. Each year demands renewal. You cannot coast. You must sharpen. Complacency is the silent assassin of greatness. When you rest at one summit, you blind yourself to the next. You begin to confuse comfort with competence. But a warrior knows that every plateau contains the seeds of decline. So even in victory you train, you sharpen your mind, you test your limits, you push your edges. Refinement is a process. You examine your motives, you purify your intentions, you root out stealthy desires, praise, ease, reputation. You look for hidden compromises. You ask, is this decision in harmony with virtue or with convenience? You refuse to let appetite or vanity creep into your castle walls. Your habits must mirror your highest self. Sleep, diet, work, speech, rest. Each becomes a discipline. You do not outsource your care. You command your body. You command your attention. You do not let your environment dominate you. You dominate your environment by mastering the small things, for these are the foundation. Leadership does not corrupt when founded in character. Even if no one follows you, your leadership is over yourself. You lead with consistency, clarity, courage. You make decisions aligned with your principles, then follow through. You are not swayed by popular opinion, but you do not act capriciously. You act for the good. That said, you may find yourself leading others, quietly, by example. If people gravitate to your presence, you do not reject them, but you do not become partial to them. You remain sovereign. You do not neglect your inner court. Your loyalty remains first to the citadel, to the virtue within. You will face deeper tests now, not of strength, but of integrity. Temptation will whisper, "Make this compromise, sacrifice this value, it's for the greater good." But you know better. The greater good is served by right action, not convenience masquerading. Sometimes standing alone is the greatest service. Pressure will increase. The stakes will rise. Criticism will sharpen. The world will challenge your consistency. Your resolve will be measured in the crucible of time. You do not shrink. You remain. You continue. You refine. Failures may sting more now because expectations are higher, but you tolerate the sting. You resist bitterness. You study your errors. You recalibrate. You move again. You do not judge by how far you fell, but by how resolutely you rise. In silence and solitude, you renew your source. You withdraw when needed, not in avoidance, but in recalibration. You heal, you reflect, you renew your vision. Then you return to the field. You do not burn out. You sustain. Winning alone after you've tasted victory means guarding it. You do not rest in vanity. You do not cling to praise. You remain grounded. You do not become the slave of your success. You continue to serve virtue even when things go well, especially then. So you sharpen, you refine, you elevate your standards. You hold your peace, your presence, your power, not for spectacle, but for substance. You walk, you rise, you win, not just a moment, but as your way. The journey deepens now. You've built, you've risen, you've acted, you've refined. But there is an inner war always ongoing, between comfort and growth, between retreat and advance. To win alone means you must choose growth, though comfort seduces. Comfort whispers that enough is enough, that you can rest, slow down, pause the struggle. But the stoic warrior knows that comfort, unchecked, becomes atrophy. You must keep pressing. You must keep pursuing. You must keep waking early, speaking truth, doing the hard thing. You train attention like a muscle. You root out distraction. You reduce clutter, mental, physical, relational. You live with clarity. You simplify. You aim your life at fewer, more potent aims. You do less, but you do it better. You focus deeply. Challenge becomes your tool. You seek it. You place yourself where you are tested, not for show, but for strength. You invite adversity into your orbit, so you grow in its presence. You do not run from hardship. You anticipate it, internalize it, learn from it. You are no longer the beginner. Now you stand as the tempered one. You have scars, insight, resilience. You carry the weight of lessons. But even then, humility must remain. You never assume you have become impeccable. You always review. You always return. You always renew your center. In this phase, relationships are tested. Those comfortable with your past self may resist your change. Some will feel threatened by your strength. Some will call you distant or rigid. You must not bend your path for them. You remain steady. You remain sovereign. Yet you also grow in compassion. You see suffering in others not as weakness to shun, but as wound to understand. Without losing your boundaries, you can offer presence when aligned. You can share your lessons, but not as burden, as alignment. But you do so lightly. You don't let connection bind your center. Failures in this stage hurt deeper because you feel the weight of legacy, but you don't fear them. you welcome them. Each deeper wound carries deeper truth. Each setback demands greater reflection. You don't flee, you lean, you analyze, refocus, recommit. Energy matters now. You guard your rest, your strength, your health. You do not burn your soul in reckless overextension. You balance exertion and renewal. You know when to step back, when to recharge, but you always return. You never quit. Winning alone at this level is not about trophies. It's about dominion over your own state. You command your moods, your impulses, your attention. You do not drift even when all around you drifts. You remain quiet in the noise, steady in the storms. You are the calm axis. So you deepen. You sharpen the second half. You cultivate a rare kind of peace with tension. The tension of growth, the tension of a life lived not for comfort, but for excellence. You walk, you rise, you win, not just through seasons, but through decades. Now you begin to face the test of legacy, not merely doing today's fight, but sustaining over years so that the warrior you are becomes the warrior who endures. You ask, when I am gone, what remains? Your impact, your integrity, your echoes. To win alone is also to leave behind a mark, not in vanity, but in virtue. You do this by consistency, by alignment, by refusing compromise. Each day you live in accord with who you say you are. You refuse to become someone else for ease, for acceptance, for reward. The warrior's legend is built quietly, in the months others do not see, in the choices no one praises. You teach by example, not by preaching. If someone comes near your flame, they may feel its heat. If not, that's not your concern. You do not spread your fire to burn others. You burn within yourself. Yet in your becoming, others learn. You carry a presence that moves toward clarity. Others sense it, though they may not articulate it. As time passes, will surfaces shallower. You see through many illusions, fame, applause, legacy itself as temptation. You ask, is this true value or vanity wearing a fruit? You prune again. You reduce your aims. You concentrate on the things that matter, virtue, wisdom, service. Not legacy for ego's sake, but legacy for good's sake. In this stage, mortality becomes clearer. You see time narrowing. You see friends passing, ambitions shifting. You sense limits in every horizon. That awareness is not despair, it is clarity. It compels you to choose wisely, act boldly, love deeply, live fully. The Stoic warrior does not fear death, he prepares for it. You practice amor fati, loving your fate. Not as resigning, but as embracing. Everything that happens becomes material for your growth. You do not wish for easier days, you wish for greater strength. You welcome the lessons inscribed by fate. You are no longer victim of life's winds. You move with them, dance with them, bend with them, but do not break. Relationships now become more intentional. You do not scatter your affection. You do not become attached to popularity or breadth. You deepen the few bonds you choose, but never at the cost of your center. Love and friendship you offer from strength, not from need. That way, giving is free. Losing does not unmoor you. You may attract followers or seekers. Some will ask your wisdom. You may teach, but you do not instruct from pride. You share when asked. You model always. You hold boundaries. You do not become a slave to the expectations of others. You remain first and always your own task. In failure and in triumph, you look backward sometimes. Not to rest in nostalgia, but to learn. You see patterns, cycles. You see how you've adapted, how you've compromised, how you've grown. You measure not by outward markers, but by inner measures. Depth, clarity, courage, peace. And so you stand. Not the novice, not the fully made, but the warrior in mid-span. You carry your scars, your lessons. You see the horizon's narrowing light. You vow not to waste time. You vow not to betray what you have become. You walk, rise, win, across seasons, across decades. You've walked long, you've risen many times, you've acted, sharpened, endured. But now a new test emerges, consistency in stillness. The warrior learns that winning is not always doing. Sometimes winning is waiting. Sometimes it is holding firm. Sometimes it is living the unremarkable day with excellence. In silence, you sustain. In routine, you continue. You do not collapse when fame fades or momentum wanes. You do not panic when recognition is gone. You keep your posture. You keep your integrity. You maintain your standards. You do the small acts. Even when no one watches, in stillness, you renew. You withdraw, not in avoidance, but in repair. You reflect on your path. You recalibrate. You rest. You let the battle within settle before the next surge. This is not idleness. It is wise patience. The warrior knows when to press and when to guard. When the world demands constant movement, you resist that tyranny. You become stable. You refuse to be blown by the winds of trends, hype, fear. You act from your center, not from impulse or rumor. You trust time more than noise. You know that true storms test the deepest roots, not the leaves. In this phase, your reputation matters less. Your inner state matters more. You speak less. You listen more. You act only when necessary. You are no longer chasing validation. You are living your truth. And your truth is no theater. It is the unbroken commitment to the way. Challenges come in subtler forms. Betrayal from someone you trusted, jealousy hidden behind praise, small compromises in convenience. In stillness, these test you more acutely because they are quiet. You must guard against soft corruption. You must remain vigilant when comfort calls. You cultivate patience. You accept that growth is often slow. You resist the urge for speed. You accept that mastery reveals itself not in grand leaps, but in steady inches. You practice small consistency, daily discipline, tiny expansions, incremental improvements. You anchor in purpose, not in results. You let your aim be right doing, not reward. You let your metric be virtue, not applause. You measure success by inner peace, not by visible gain. You act rightly, regardless of outcome. That is your win. In stillness, you mature. The novelty of youth's fire is replaced by the breadth of depth. You see cycles. You respect time. You treat life as a slow craft. You no longer rush to prove yourself. You simply become. So, you hold, quiet, grounded, consistent. This is part of winning alone, ruling your inner state, whether storms roil outside or calm seas lie. You walk, you rise, you win, not by frenzy, but by enduring presence. You now face another trial, resilience under invisibility. Not all wins are seen, not all victories are praised. Much of your growth, your fight, your endurance will live in shadows, unnoticed by the crowd. The warrior carries on anyway. You will act rightly and be ignored. You will sacrifice and not get credit. You will weather storms without a witness. That is part of mastering the inner world. You don't act for applause. You act because that is who you are. Your integrity expects nothing in return. In invisibility, you refine your motives. You ask, do I do this for show or for virtue? Let the answer always be virtue. Let reputation be possible, not necessary. Let praise be incidental, not essential. That distance frees you. You deepen your patience. You understand that true impact often blooms later than your effort. The roots of growth lie unseen. The fruit ripens slowly. Trust the process. Do not demand immediate validation. You walk now for long game, not for short recognition. When you feel unseen, you might feel doubt. Voices within may ask, is it worth it? The warrior answers, yes, because the worth lies not in how many saw you, but in whether you were true to yourself in the moment. You stand whether or not anyone is watching. This is the cultivation of a rare strength, the ability to thrive without audience. Many are content only when eyes lie on them. You are content in solitude, in silence, in unseen action. You carry your mission in your marrow, not in your billboard. You'll find that over time, your work touches lives anyway, quietly through ripples, through unseen echoes. A word, action, posture may reach someone you never meet, but you never make the ripple your aim. The cause is timeless. The recognition is optional. Each day you reinforce this. Make your moves without expecting applause. Speak your truths, even if no one listens. Live your standards, even if no one mirrors. Let your inner citadel rest in recognition's absence. Let your peace not tremble in neglect. In time, those who matter will see. Perhaps, perhaps not. But you do not live for that possibility. You live for the real task, the alignment of your soul with virtue. You win even when ignored, because the victory was never external. You walk alone. You rise alone. You win alone, not for show, but from the root. And even when the world is blind, your soul remains awake, your character intact, your journey true. Now the warrior faces the test of time. Years roll on, seasons shift. You feel the weight of endurance. The path you chose is long and few remain beside you. It is in this stretch that many falter, not from weakness, but from slowdown. The steady flame dims. You must tend it always. You must renew your commitment daily. Yesterday's victory does not guarantee today's strength. You return to fundamentals, discipline, virtue, clarity, presence. You reinforce your citadel's walls. You practice inner checks. You guard against entropy in your habits, your attention, your purpose. You reflect on your mission. Has your direction drifted? Have you allowed subtle compromises? You do not rage or panic. You pause, examine, course correct. You do not wait for catastrophe to wake you. You act when the dimming begins. That is wisdom. You no longer chase novelty or excitement. You find richness in the deep, the stable, the meaningful. You care less for external acclaim or accumulation. You care more for depth, for quality, for coherence. You become slow, not stagnant, measured, not hurried. As years pass, your vision sharpens. You see long arcs, not immediate returns. You think generationally of values transmitted, patterns broken, legacies sown. You act not just for your moment, but for the unfolding beyond your life. Your suffering becomes your teacher more now. Losses hit deeper. Some friends vanish. Some parts of your ambition fade. Your body ages. The world shifts. And you accept this not with despair, but with equanimity. You prepare your mind for mortality, for change, for release. You practice detachment, not from life, but from clinging. You love without needing. You serve without expecting. You build without possessing. You let go when time compels. The warrior's grip is firm but flexible. He knows when to hold, when to release. You may find new roles now: mentor, guide, pillar. You hold your ground, but you also hold space. You offer your presence, not your demand. You support without dependence. You teach, not by direction, but by example. Let those who wish to walk lean on the path you've walked, but do not let them carry you off course. In the stretches ahead, you rest even in strife. You become still in motion. You remain calm while acting. You expand your capacity, not by force, but by patience. You endure not by grit alone, but by deep acceptance of what is and what you still can choose. Winning alone in the long game is sustaining your center while all else fluxes. It is holding your posture in advancing age, in shifting seasons, in changing landscape. It is living so that when your time ends, you can say, "I did not betray myself. I walked, I rose, I won on my terms." So now you walk into horizon's longer span. The fire is older, deeper. The road is harder, lonelier, more demanding. But you move still, with feet steady, mind sharp, heart grounded. You win now not just for a moment, but through the passage of years. Now you approach the stage where the warrior's humility and containment are tested. Your power grows, your presence deepens, and with it, the danger of pride and overreach. To win alone is also to stay small in ego, large in heart. You have seen much, learned much, suffered much. You carry wisdom in your bones, yet you do not broadcast your strength. You do not weigh your presence on others. You remain contained. You speak only what is necessary. You let your actions be the loudest voice. You let your silence be your discipline. Pride whispers that you must prove yourself, that you must demand recognition, that you deserve more. The warrior answers, "I live rightly, whether seen or unseen." He refuses vanity. He refuses entitlement. He reminds himself that his worth is not in achievement, but in integrity. You also guard against overreach, measures taken beyond what is virtuous for the sake of achievement. You ask, "Am I stretching for legacy or for righteousness? Am I serving the good or serving reputation?" If the motive is tainted, you pull back. You stay within your circle of virtue, even when your ambition demands expansion. Now more than ever, compassion becomes subtle power. You see suffering, you hold pain, you understand struggle, not from distance, but from your own scars. You act when aligned, with wisdom, not pity. You do not rescue, but you accompany. You do not force, but you guide. You do not annex others' burdens into your citadel. You keep your boundaries. Failures in this season sting more gravely because your name is known, your reputation carries weight. But when critique arrives, you do not flinch. You listen. You ask, "Is there correction here? Is there growth? Is there humility needed?" You separate the signal from the noise. You adjust without losing your center. You become a steward, not a ruler. Even your influence you wield with restraint. You do not dominate, you serve. You do not boast, you act with subtle gravity. You become a quiet pillar, a presence that steadies air. You lead without needing applause. Your legacy becomes not what you achieve, but who you were in achieving. Others may talk of your feats, but they will remember your honor, your constancy, your quiet service. That is the true mark, influence traced not to spectacle, but to alignment. And when the end of the journey draws near, you look back, not with regret, but with gratitude. You see the long path you walked alone, the storms you endured, the battles you refused. You say, "I kept faith. I did not betray myself. I went all the way." So you hold humility and containment as high as mastery and victory. You walk, you rise, you win, and you remain grounded. You carry your power without letting it carry you. You end as you began, sovereign in silence, majestic without noise. Now you arrive at the full circle, the final reckoning, not with fame, not with victory, but with meaning. You ask, "Why have I walked? Why have I risen? Why have I won?" The answer lies beyond trophies. It lies in the life lived well, the character preserved, the soul surrendered to virtue. You walk so that you may know your own power, not over others, but over yourself. You rise so that you may see how high your spirit can lift. You win so that you may become what you are meant to be, a force in quiet, a presence of integrity, a testimony of possibility. Your victory is your becoming. In this chapter, you reconcile solitude and communion. You accept that your path is yours alone, but that your strength can serve without surrender. You learn to love without attachment, to act without demand, to give without losing center. You do not dissolve into others. You integrate. You share while sovereign. You see now the full paradox. Walking alone does not mean being alone. Rising alone does not mean being distant. Winning alone does not mean being cold. You may have companions, influence, legacy, but your soul remains untouched by dependency. Your center remains your citadel. You accept mortality. You accept that your time is limited. You accept that your body will fail, your name fade, your story end. yet you do not regret this. You see it as validation of urgency, clarity of purpose, necessity of discipline. The brevity of life sharpens your aim, so you turn inward, you review your journey, you forgive your missteps, embrace your wounds, honor your lessons. You do not resent your past regrets, you integrate them. They become part of your narrative, they become teachers, they become testimony to pain overcome. At the close, your victory is not in conquest, but in peace. You stand firm in your final dusk. You do not tremble, you do not fear, you do not bargain. You walk into the night with dignity, presence, wisdom. You complete your arc, and then you pass forward. You leave behind what remains, not monuments, but lives changed, principles honored, stones laid for others to climb. But you do so lightly. You do not cling to your legacy. You let it breathe in freedom. Your path ends where it began, in yourself. You walked, you rose, you won, you became. In that becoming lies immortality, not in memory, but in virtue that echoes, in the hearts that carry the torch, not in the monuments that crumble. Let those who follow say, "He walked alone, but he left us a way." Let your final whisper be not of regret, but of gratitude, of strength, of purpose, of peace.